Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
At this point, is it more likely that Trey Hendrickson is a Bengal or that he gets traded?
I think it's more likely he's a Bengal because I think we're so far along into the offseason that for another team to trade from, it wouldn't be easy. But if we go back, we saw Khalil Mack traded in September. So teams make space for great players. And Trey Hendrickson's a great player. It's in both sides' best interest to get this done, but these two sides have struggled to get it done. And yeah, you'd think that Pittsburgh would figure out a way. You think Cincinnati would as well. And I'm sure Dallas will too. And my guess would be that by the end of the summer, all three players will have their deals. But here we are in mid-June, and they currently don't.
Adam Schefter there, talking about, well, the off-season of pass rushers. Micah Parsons, TJ Watt, Trey Hendrickson. Two of those guys, Hendrickson and Watt, not at mandatory minicamp. Parsons is, but all three looking for big-time deals. We do know, though, on Parsons specifically, that there was a deal on the table. Words from Jerry Jones, and I don't think Parsons denied it, that would make him the highest-paid non-quarterback in the league. The only problem was Parsons' agent was not being talked to about it.
Right.
It was Jerry Jones. I'm hoping and praying, faxing him the contract details. I know he didn't, but a part of me really wants that he decided, screw it. 2 a.m. No, we're getting this done. I'm going to fax it over to him.
Yep.
I'm going to text him real quick. Here's the details. Parsons is like, I'm not signing anything until my agent's there. And he's like, well, I'm talking to him. Sign it now. Look at the money.
Yeah.
Well, all three are going to probably get signed, right?
I don't know.
The Hendrickson one, I do actually wonder.
There's
about.
No way.
The Hendrickson
not
one.
Not in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Dallas, they will sign him. They'll just wait until like another guy gets signed and then they'll finally do it.
Yeah.
Watt, I think they'll get signed as
Watt
well.
Watt is the one of the three that I think gets done first.
Yeah.
The second being Parsons. And the third, not being with the team that he's with, is Hendrickson.
He's the one where I'm just like, I don't really know.
The Bengals are, they are a joke. And it is getting to be all the more questionable as to how they managed to make a Super Bowl. It's more impressive even because of how their management style dictates, how ownership runs things there. I would hate to be a Cincinnati Bengals fan because your franchise, if not for, you and I said something about this before the show,
mm-hmm.
if not for the fact that you keep being bailed out by having like incredible quarterbacks.
And they have through most of their history.
But you constantly waste those two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a bust in there with Akili Smith, but Joe Burrow, Carson Palmer.
Andy Dalton
was a second rounder.
He was good.
He outperformed that pick selection.
Yeah, and then you go to the early years of the Bengals. You got Ken Anderson and Boomer Esiason. I think both each made a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but the Bengals do this all the time with their ownership group, and it's just, I don't know what's up with them. I don't understand them. I don't get it. And they really are that franchise that consistently gets in their own way just for the sake of being cheap.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do this. I hate myself for it, and you all can hate me for
it,
too.
Lean into it. It's okay.
But, like, I see that Matthew Fairburn piece about mm-hmm. the Sabres.
Yeah.
And like I'm always a little concerned about that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like the team isn't, like, ownership is involved, but they're trying to do things, you know, a little bit on the cheaper side. And I'm like, why? For why?
You didn't why?
You didn't do this before. Like, don't do it now.
Yeah, don't. Well, and especially like
do it less.
We talked with Sal Marano about this on Monday of just like, and that was more to the baseball of it,
right?
But
baseball, yeah, in particular, the but baseball team.
All owners are billionaires. Now, why are you being cheap?
Why are you being cheap on this? Yeah. That's how you end up being a billionaire is, yeah, you know, questionable ethics. But
hoarding the money like Smaug.
Hoarding the money like Smaug and questionable ethics. That's how you billionaire.
Smaug.
Smaug.
He burned Lake Town. I mean,
that's how you do it. But again, you have too much money, mm-hmm, quite frankly. Burn it on something. Oh, you acquired a team? Use that money on.
Yeah, how are you not bored kind of deal? Like,
right.
Are you not bored? Be like, I don't know. Like, is it Stan Kroenke?
And if you don't want to spend.
He owns Arsenal. He owns like the Denver or like the LA Chargers. Or no.
Rams.
And like, he's just like spending money on all these sports teams, making them all successful.
Colorado Avalanche.
Colorado Avalanche. Like, he's just spending money making successful teams. Like, yes. That's a man that's like, I'll do this. This is fun.
He's a scuzzy dude. I hated the
moving the Rams out of St. Louis.
How that happened, mm-hmm, and like, but he's at least spending the money. You mentioned like the Browns.
Like, oh, man.
When we were talking before the show, the Browns do it. They just do it in
they're just not correct ways.
They're just not advised with their spending of money. Like, have fun with the money that you know is never going to affect you. It's never going to see anything about you because you have so much more money. Or sell it to another billionaire that has too much money that wants to burn it.
Steve Ballmer. The Clippers.
Sell it to a billionaire that wants to burn his money.
Yeah.
It is his or her money. Like, just do it.
I do wonder, though, if this is the penance for Ohio football fans.
At least
fans.
Let us plebs have fun with you burning your money.
Right. But I'm telling you, I think this might be the penance for Ohio football fans of like,
this look, is what you get for the Ohio State,
yeah,
University.
Like, you get Ohio State, but you do not get Cleveland and Cincinnati being relevant. You get the Cincinnati Bearcats making the college football playoff. You do not get
the Cincinnati Bengals making the playoff.
You do not get that. No. There is a limit to this. It is funny, though. I mean, you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, how they operate, and then the Ohio State Buckeyes, and like the Buckeyes are like, we will spend the GDP of a small country.
Buckeyes like, spend more on money like on players receivers than the Bengals, yeah, do. I don't like how accurate that seems. I don't like how accurate that seems.
This is
it's not
opinions.
True. We are absolutely speaking hyperbolic, but it sounds like it makes sense.
Well, I mean, depending on who you ask, I mean, the report, I guess, was nullified by Steve Sarkisian, but Texas might have a $40 million roster this year. Those two teams play
and
week
that's
one of the college football
like
season.
The resources that some of these major college football programs.
Yeah.
What was it? LSU with that virtual reality.
Yeah, baby.
Quarterbacks getting virtual reality reps so that they can learn how to read.
Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels.
Big aspect for him.
Big talking aspect on that was he had that. He had mentioned it, mm-hmm, publicly. Like, this was something that made me better as a quarterback. And this is a Division I college football program putting that money in.
Yeah.
There are NFL teams that don't have that.
And now, I mean, we haven't been able to talk about it, but over the weekend, we are now, you know, to simplest terms, schools will now be able to openly pay players. It will not just be the NIL fund where boosters are putting them
right
together and stuff like that. Schools will be able to do that with revenue sharing. So, yeah, like, we actually might get to the point where Ohio State actually does spend more than the Cincinnati Bengals and Cleveland Browns.
Like, we're mentioning Ohio State, and I remember the infamous quote from Cardale Jones, former Bill Cardale Jones.
Such a good quote.
I'm not here to play school. Like, we're not here to play school. Like,
so,
and that was before the NIL showed up.
Like, he still had to somewhat convince people he was attending classes.
But except he very much didn't. With that quote, he's like, no, I'm not at class.
I'm not doing that.
I'm not at class.
Look what school I'm at. Look what sport I'm playing.
Right. Like, and look where I am. Yeah, it's like, and that's before NIL deals were showing up. So, like, who knows what was under the table with college athletics all the time.
Oh, man.
To a point where Reggie Bush has his Heisman taken away from him.
Man, I got to tell you right now. You may have watched it.
SMU.
SMU. Watch the 30 for 30.
The death penalty.
Pony Excess. Watch that. It is... I've been this way for years with college sports. I think all the big programs for a long time were cheating. It was just how good were you at it in terms of getting caught, buying the right players?
At least nowadays, it's just in front of everybody.
Right.
Like, at least now nobody's hiding it. There's no shame about paying college players to play football for your school. It is strictly that. That's the business. That's always been the business. Now, I appreciate that I'm not being gaslit into thinking from Mark Emmert, with the chairman of the NCAA saying, oh, no, these are they're students first. It's student athlete. And I'm like, no, you're lying to me. You're gaslighting everyone. Stop. Like,
another good documentary, all of the Miami ones where they're like, yeah, I mean, the U played a big part in like the boom of downtown Miami.
Don't lie to me. Like, that's all I want. I'm a very simple man. Don't lie to me. Don't gaslight me.
Well, that was always my big thing with paying players openly was always like, cool, now we're still on the even playing field. Everything's out in the open, masks off, let's go. Because like you bring up like what was going on like behind the tables. You'll have former players now they can talk about it with like, yeah, it was just a briefcase of like $10,000 or for $500 bills just like stuffed in your backpack.
Yeah,
or
I want to hear more of those stories. What's the NCAA going to do? Good. Take those things away? No, you're openly paying everyone now.
I don't know if
you
Eric,
can't.
I don't think Eric Dickerson's ever openly acknowledged it. It definitely didn't during the documentary that I think was made in like 2011, 2012. Right. But
like the Fab Five, Michigan.
Oh yeah, Fab Five, absolutely. But Dickerson, it was famous, the gold Trans Am. It was a car that an A&M booster bought him to go to A&M. And he's like, I don't want to go to A&M, but like they gave me this car. I don't know what to do. And SMU, the story goes, was like, dude, take the car. You don't have to play for him. We'll help you pay it off. Or even more famously is the story that Dickerson took a pay cut to go to the NFL. Which is insane.
And now, but you see that though. Like you mentioned this sort of thing. There are quarterbacks that will stay in school, for example. There will be pro prospects that are going to stay in school because NIL is now so open with this.
That was a Quinn Ewers thing of like, are you really going to go to the NFL, be a fifth to seventh round draft pick and make less money than you would at, let's say, Michigan or Ohio State if they wanted to bring him back or were looking for a new quarterback? Instead, he wants to go to the NFL. That's something actually I've thought about with college basketball and college football of potentially the draft prospects will be better because they're going to be in college longer. There won't be that rush to get to the NFL the moment the iron's hot.
They're not chasing the dollar now.
Yeah, the dollar is there from the word go. And so I think definitely in basketball will make the prospects better. You won't have these 18-year-olds that are playing like in the G League
and I can
trying to get it going instead of like, no, I'll go spend 2 years at Duke.
And I can appreciate that college athletics now is going to, no, I'm not being gaslit into thinking that, or I'm not even being gaslit into thinking.
Just straight
I'm just
lied
being
to.
Gaslit yeah. and lied to that, like, oh, no, they're students first. Like, I've got a bridge to sell you.
Right. And for me, too, and 803-0550 if you want to jump on this topic as well. For me, it's always been the sports, namely college basketball and college football, are simply too big. We as an audience allow them to get too big to really honestly and earnestly convince ourselves they're amateurs.
Yes.
The sports got
too big. It is a minor league.
Yeah. It's a developmental league for the quote-unquote pros. And for some of these, especially in the South, it's professional. When you look at college football, it is professional in Alabama with Alabama and Auburn, Florida with the Gators and Florida State, Clemson with South Carolina. Like these are professional teams. Hell, Derek, this was always my like something I would laugh at before we got the announcement of the new Highmark Stadium. And having just made this pilgrimage myself, one of the cities that was thrown around like, oh, the Bills could move here was Austin. Okay,
right, Austin,
so
Texas.
Is a pro team really going to – and Austin is a bigger city. They could legitimately have a pro team. But are you going to tell me right now a pro team is going to have a smaller stadium than the University of Texas?
No.
Texas is a 100,000-person stadium. The new Bills Highmark Stadium will be around, what, 65? Are you going to have that much smaller of a stadium?
Yeah, you got to.
That would look awful.
Because also, Austin, Texas, you know that the Longhorns have those luxury boxes too, baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's Texas football.
Yep.
That's Texas football.
And, I mean, being there for just a weekend, it's like Pittsburgh with their colors being black and gold. I don't know if Austin's official color is burnt orange, but damn does it feel like it.
Well, there's no way you step on their toes, though.
You can't.
There's a pro team, you can't step on those toes.
Can't.
You can't even have any shade of orange there.
No. Or it's going to be, no, you bow to us. You will be orange as well.
I don't know which way it would go.
I don't know which way it would go.
I think it would be like the pro team would have to step off and go, I ain't touching
but
that.
But I always found it laughable that like Austin was being put up there. And I'm like, cool, are you prepared then to put like a 110,000 person stadium? Because
you have to.
There's no way you're going to be the little brother to a college team.
And that is a legitimate fear there. Like, for example, it would be the like in that nightmare scenario where the Bills were to have relocated, they would be a good team at least. But like, could you imagine? Ready? Vegas. Think about
Vegas.
Yeah. The Golden Knights became something in Vegas because they were hot off the start, right off the iron.
Yep.
And who comes showing up? Because the legitimate fear is they have to be good before the Raiders show up.
Yeah, because NFL's king.
NFL's king. Football's king. You have to be good.
They'll take over.
Before they move, because we all could see it. You have to be good before another team shows up in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And the Golden Knights are.
Yeah.
They're great.
And they were good from the word go.
And they had to be. In order for this to succeed, they had to be.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta. The Thrashers.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently not able to get out of their own way. Ownership ultimately has something to do with that. Yeah.
But there were already other teams that had well established
teams.
And Atlanta is also a transient town as well. Austin has become that as well. But Atlanta had the Braves and the Falcons. The Falcons don't even have a particularly great history.
Right.
But it's the Falcons and it's the NFL. I will say though, to the argument of maybe Austin, and this would be hysterical. They share the stadium. And be wild to me. I always thought when that came up or when that was a thing that maybe could happen, I was like, yeah, Austin's not the right city. San Antonio made sense.
That makes
Austin,
sense.
I was always like, that's not real.
But yeah.
Or if that's real, it's a bad fake.
Yeah.
It's a bad push.
Like if Austin's going to get a pro team, you have to be good from the word go.
And I think you got to do a lot of legwork to eventually overtake Texas. You have to.
And it's so well entrenched there at that point. Like, ready? Columbus.
Even when they were
the
bad.
The Blue Jackets are an afterthought in Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Afterthought.
Because of the
Ohio
college
state.
Team.
It is a college town. It is a college city. Like, it's a dangerous game to play there.
Mm-hmm. L.A. gets away with it because, well, L.A. is L.A.
Yes.
You know, USC can play at the Coliseum and the Rams can play at SoFi, but it's like, yeah, but it's L.A.
But L.A.'s that big that you can get away with that. Like Chicago having five professional sports teams.
Mm-hmm.
New York, same thing. Those are cities that are that big that you can get away with that. L.A., they have the Kings, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Rams, the Chargers.
Oh, man, the Clippers.
Dodgers. Sometimes the Angels.
There it
when
is.
When they feel like it.
I was like, come on, baby.
When they feel like it.
Nolan Chanuel.
But
walk off yesterday.
Again, that just tells you just how big that city is.
Yeah.
And you can get away with all that.
Everything. Weird to think about with expansion, because I think most of us now acknowledge like NFL expansion when it eventually probably does happen. International. I think what most of us consider is probably not a U.S. city, but an international team.
I don't want to admit that to being right, but I know that it is. But then that means that NFL Sundays are going to get dominated from like 6 a.m. or 7 a.m.
Oh.
Until the end
Roger
of the
Goodell is pounding the table for that.
7 a.m. to 11 p.m. Get ready, everyone. That's what football is going to look like.
You think London knows that first city?
Yes. They've been there the longest.
But I would have said Jacksonville gets relocated, but now with the new stadium renovations and stuff, they're probably locked in? Maybe?
Probably.
I'll say probably.
Ready? You have to realign the entirety of the divisions. If you take the AFC South team,
that'd be ugly.
Put them in London, which is more north than New England.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you talk about border gore then. That'd be rough. That'd be bad.
I've got the Jacksonville Jaguars. I've got the London Jaguars.
Jaguars, there you go.
Playing in the AFC South, brother.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. That's not happening. Oof.
Governor. I feel like it's every American's right to do terrible Cockney at least once in their life.
It's a tough accent to do, though.
That was the worst English accent I think I will have ever spoken in my entire life.
It's a tough accent to do. It's a tough one.
But it's everyone's God-given right to do it at least once.
I've done it at least once. I don't have to do it on air. I've done it at least once.
I feel like I should ask Josh to do terrible Cockney right now.
Would a Canadian team, though,
I need
first?
The worst. I need the worst
he's
English
not, he's
accent
not doing it. He's not
right
doing
now.
It. He's not doing it.
Come on.
No. Yeah, no.
Come
no.
on.
Shakes the head. No.
Coward.
Maybe a Canadian team, though, would be first.
Nothing
is the international
should be so
test.
Sacred.
But is the international test, I could see a Canadian team being first. I could.
No. The Toronto series ultimately failed. And that had more to do with the state of the Bills, but
mm-hmm.
the NFL did not continue to press on the gas for that.
Thankfully.
Thankfully. Selfishly as Bills fans, yes. But the NFL did not follow up with any team.
Yeah.
Canada. Has Canada gotten a single game since then?
I don't believe so. No, because the international
Mexico
thing,
has.
Yeah, I was going to say the international thing has become much more overseas with Mexico thrown in there. Now we're going to get an Australia game.
Before we get another Canada game.
That's right, yeah.
That tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, that they were not thrilled with that product. Well, maybe it also is too, though. The CFL might – it's not king in Canada, though. But it might be enough to where they've got their teams, they've got their league.
It's fun enough.
Yeah, they've got their teams, they've got their league, they've got their rules.
It's fun enough up there for them.
803-05.
You ever watch a CFL game?
No, I've wanted to go to one, though. That's one of my dad's dreams, is to go to like an Argonauts game or something like that, like to go see a CFL game.
If we got Canadian listeners, help me out. Tweet at DerekKramer49. I need to know just how fun a Canadian Football League game is.
Or would it frustrate me because the rules are just ever so different? Like,
is it better or worse than polo?
Careful.
Oh, that's right. You've been to polo.
Careful.
There's a chance I'm going to go to another one.
There's a chance you'll go again?
There's a chance.
Don't do this to me again. Don't do this to me again, because I'm going to then ask the public once again to tell Zachary,
Do it again.
What? Zach, do you know anything about polo?
I know rich people play it.
I need everyone to tweet at ZacharyJones198 the rules of polo.
Oh, see, that's just going to get me excited, though.
No.
Like, I have a fear of horses, but I'll go watch this.
No, ready? Oh, my God. If you go watch this, I have a show in the archives of this very time slot that I would need to show you.
I feel like I was around for this. I remember the polo conversation. I just don't remember specifically what happened to me.
It was so bad.
I have a fear of horses, but I'll go watch this.
It was so bad.
I'll specifically go to watch Josh's reactions to watching polo. That's what I would go to watch.
It's actually kind of fun.
Josh is now a seasoned vet, though.
Is it soccer but on horses?
No.
What could it be then?
The goalie is on a mini horse.
It has elements.
A pony?
It has elements of soccer. I will say
that. It has elements.
The officials ride on zebras.
Yeah,
that
they
can't
do.
Be right.
No,
they
cannot
be right.
They do. That's how the ones at the zoo get exercise.
That can't be right. That cannot be right.
We're doing it again.
That cannot be right.
No, it is. I'm dead serious.
I'm being lied to.
No, you are. I'm sorry. I can't
absolutely, 1,000%.
Everybody listening, I can only gaslight you.
Oh my god, 1,000%.
The refs ride on
zebras. We started
this
segment about gaslighting. Here I am doing it to Zach.
The refs ride on zebras.
Oh my god.
I actually have my.
Is
my,
the pony thing real though?
No.
Okay, thank goodness.
I have my.
But it was believable, wasn't it?
From last year. Yeah, from last year when I went.
All right, we got to take a quick time out here. I got to touch on this. 803-0550.
Oh, God, we're doing this again.
The number two call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, along with Josh Schmidt, hanging here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you are worried about Hughes's future, he's your plan B, right? You need a good skating, puck-moving defenseman. And in the long run, if it's not going to be Quinn Hughes, you know, I guess Bowen Byron would look good in that spot. He's obviously not Quinn Hughes, but he still brings that style of game, which clearly you need. Like, if you're going to survive, you need a defenseman who can skate. We know that. We look at every team, you know, that has success in any part of the game now. You have defensemen who can move. And is Byron that guy? I mean, does he have the track? He's certainly clearly an NHL defenseman. Does he have the track record to be the guy? I think so.
NHL reporter Chris Johnston.
Patrick Johnston.
Thank you. Talking about Bo Byram potentially maybe being a replacement for Quinn Hughes.
Oh,
that
you want Bo and Byram?
Aggressive.
Hang on, no, ready? You want Bo and Byram? I'm willing to talk. Okay, you want Bo and Byram? I know that there's an Elias Pettersson that you might want to start over organizationally when it comes to that player. Obviously, I know Bo and Byram alone's not going to get it done, but we could start there. That means conversations between Buffalo and Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
I get a non-0% chance at landing Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Reason we played that back, though, is because the Norris Trophy was announced in that last half hour. Yes. Cale Makar wins the second time in his career. Very good season for him, although, depending on who you ask,
I feel like
the point totals shouldn't matter. But
the point
he did,
totals should not matter.
He did play a career high in games, 80, had 30 goals and 92 points.
It is insane. Like, 92 points is kind of cracked.
Yeah, it's kind of insane.
But also Colorado was one of the better teams all throughout the year. He is a defensive presence on that team. He's eating the minutes. So there is something to that. I do still think that Zach Werenski should have won the award because Columbus was relevant because of him.
Werenski also had a great season. Not 81 games played, 82 points, 23 goals. Really, really great season for him.
But also incredible in his own zone. He's going to get his pair... his defensive partner, Dante Fabro, a huge raise, whether it be with Columbus or another team in free agency. Buffalo Sabres, please sign Dante Fabro. Please.
That is one of Derek's big runs
at it. That's a right-handed shot. You don't have any of those on your team. And if you need to trade Bo Byram, for example, from the clip, signing Dante Fabro is effectively replacing and more cheaper, cost-effective version of Bo Byram at that point versus an extension.
Yep. And then Rasmus Dahlin, also on the list, finishing sixth in voting, which is actually a career high for him. Previously, it had been finishing eighth in the 2022-23 season when he did get his current, still career high in points, 73 this year, playing a few less games, 73, had 68 points, and again, finishes sixth in the voting. You do wonder, though, if the Sabres had made the playoffs, where he winds up in the voting. I don't think he wins.
He doesn't win. He's eighth. Like, let's be real about this, but this is the beginning.
Sixth this year.
Oh, no, I'm talking like 2 years ago. When they could have made the playoffs 1 point out, he ends up finishing eighth. But this year, if they made it, it would have been because of him, especially because they went on a 13-game slide and lost all the games that Dahlin was not playing in.
Yeah, that's a shame. You can't do that. Can't do that.
However, if the Sabres do win one or like get to the playoffs, Dahlin becomes a top three candidate in Norris Trophy voting. Like, that is simple as that.
Yeah.
It would have to take a 92-point season from Cale Makar or a player of that sort to stop Dahlin from making it as a Norris Trophy winner if the Sabres make the playoffs. Because they will look at it and go, oh my God, the Sabres made the playoffs. Rasmus Dahlin's really good. He was on our voter list at six last year when the team was bad and had a 13-game losing streak.
Well, it'll help, too, that
he's
like,
on our radar.
If they make the playoffs, there's no doubt Dahlin has like one of his better seasons ever. So it'd also be then easy to give him that award.
Or also, it's a standard season where he's now finished eighth and sixth.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
on bad teams.
A standard Sabres season from Dahlin should be good enough, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what Dahlin's doing is good enough that nationally he's being recognized now.
Yeah.
Like, he's six on a bad Sabres team this year that was in last place in the Eastern Conference for almost the entirety of the year.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that man got sixth place in Norris Trophy. The minute the Sabres make it, even if it's a normal Dahlin year, say it's 70 points, and Buffalo makes the playoffs, I think people know how good he is defensively, too.
Yeah.
I
agree.
If there's a boost, say he gets to, like, say he breaks a career high over 73 points.
Yeah, he gets, like, 75.
But the Norris Trophy is still supposed to be for the best all-around defenseman. Erik Karlsson broke it. Like everyone says, like Cale Makar. No. Erik Karlsson did this first, okay?
Mm.
Like, let's be real.
Did Erik Karlsson have a year where he broke 100 points? I feel like he...
John Karlsson did.
Yeah.
He had 110 one year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I think. Let me double check.
Yeah, if it's 110, make sure about that. Because if you don't win a Norris Trophy winning that with 110 points, that would be...
Erik Karlsson did 2022-23. He had 101.
Yep.
Oh.
I mean, he's not good defensively, but man, him on the power play. So
yeah, no, Erik Karlsson or John Karlsson never got 200 points in his career.
But
and also
I know
has never won a Norris Trophy. That's a shame. He finished second in 2020.
How did he not win one?
He finished second in 2020.
That's absurd.
It's tough.
When he had a career high 75 points.
I'm batting 1,000 today. If anyone heard the morning show, I had a
rough Yeah, you're having a tough one.
I'm never going to turn this mic on again.
Buddy.
I didn't want to say anything. I'm sorry.
Buddy, you got to take a nap. Like, I don't
know. Call it a day. Call it a day.
I don't know where I got 110 points from. I could have swore he did that, but apparently not.
Oh, no. Call it a day.
This is why I'm not stats guy.
This is why I'm not stats guy. On the birthday thing, though, by the way, not the same age. Me and Arch Manning, April 27th. Just want to point that out there. I do. Don't give me the horns down, Joshua. Might win the Heisman this year. Show some respect. Playing Ohio State, by the way, at Ohio State, week one. I'd be pretty excited. Josh, are you excited for that game? Wow.
Excited to watch Texas lose.
Wow. All right. Fair. I was going to go to Polo, but instead we'll go to the Buffalo Bisons, as they did announce. Talk about Polo anymore. Max Scherzer is in for a rehab assignment. He is going to be playing on Friday at home against the Columbus Clippers, 6:35. That'll be really exciting. Scherzer is one of the more exciting pitchers in recent MLB history. A lot of fun. Kind of a crazy person. He's sort of known for that competitive juice.
Yep.
But that'll be a real fun guy to go see. Not Guerrero Jr., I understand, but that'd still be a great guy to go see. 6:35 at Salem Field.
Yeah, I think that if you want to see, you know, a big league player like that, should be a good weather day. Like, all week has been pretty much it's going to be this.
Yeah.
So get out to the ballpark and have fun. Enjoy it.
By the way, the Bills having later practice today as well. Not even going to have like a brutal day weather-wise. 70. That's beautiful. Because some of these later practices they'll have in training camp, be like, I would have done this earlier. It is now 88 degrees outside. What are you doing? Go back inside.
What are you doing?
Go back inside. This is brutal. But no, for them, not too bad. Not too bad at all. 803-0550, the number to call if you'd like to join the show. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. We do, though, have NBA basketball tonight. Few days off. I hate this schedule. I do like that neither... neither league runs into each other, but like Sunday to Wednesday to travel from OKC to Indianapolis feels a bit aggressive. That feels a bit aggressive.
Yeah.
Especially because there's, and I'm a little frustrated by it, but I've played into it. There's not too much hoopla about this series. You go that long between games, people will just kind of like, oh, it's on? Oh,
considering
okay.
that both series have a ratings issue right now.
Yeah. You maybe don't want to have them spaced out this much.
I get it, though, from Edmonton to Florida. That's a lot of miles.
Well, did you see the flip? Did you see the turnaround for game 4 to 5?
No, what is it?
It's one day.
I love that.
They play tomorrow. There we go. Edmonton and Florida play tomorrow, and then they play again on Saturday in Edmonton.
Oh, wow.
But they have 2 days off between 3 and 4.
Then it's Saturday
in
to Wednesday.
Florida.
Yeah, then it's Saturday to Wednesday, and then Wednesday to Saturday. Well, so right, they do the quick turnaround and then wait a little bit.
Yeah, so it is one quick turnaround, but still, like, come on.
Where NBA plays tonight, they'll play Friday, so that'll be another quick turnaround, then not again till Monday.
I don't understand that one with the lack of travel.
Yeah, that's not much travel. Like Edmonton, Florida,
let's be entirely
real. We found out from last year, is the longest travel distance between two Stanley Cup final teams.
Let's make something crystal clear here. Nobody's taking a bus. Not with these.
Right. No one's taking a bus.
This isn't the AHL. They're not driving a bus from Oklahoma City to Indianapolis.
This isn't even baseball in the early 1900s when they're like, we all took trains.
No, they're all flying.
They're back there the next day.
Yeah.
Not even that night. They might even be back there.
With that short a distance between Oklahoma City and Indianapolis?
They might be.
It's the same night.
I could also see, though, the NBA Finals kind of being like thankful they're not playing this weekend with the U.S. Open.
Sure.
They may not want to deal with that, again, with the ratings not being great. But they would likely take over after the day ends. Maybe
yes.
8:30. You'd already have people sitting at their TV watching sports going to the next one.
Right. It'd be a great little thing to boost up.
Yeah.
But, you know, All right.
Hope the game is close tonight, though. Sunday's game was not close at all. 123 to 107. The score does not indicate how close it was. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander scoring 30 again. I was mistaken, though, on Halliburton. I thought he had scored under 15 points in both games. He had 17 on Sunday, but still not really a great performance by him by any means. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Derek, the last time he didn't score 30 points, May 24th at Minnesota, he scored 14. Since then, he has scored 40, 34, 38, 34.
Yeah, you might want to slow him down.
And before that, the 14-point game, he had 38, 31, 35, 32, 31.
Right. It's
it is record-breaking kind of numbers.
You've got to make sure you find a way to slow him down. Otherwise, it's going to be a short series, as we all fear.
What is slowing him down? 30?
Get him under 30.
I guess get him under 30.
Get him under 30.
Oh, my goodness.
Because the man's also a facilitator, so you do need to make sure like he's not doing both to you.
Yeah, I mean, his assist totals the other night, 8. 3, 8, 10, 6, 8. Not, yeah, I mean.
The 3's your low mark. Like, that's
the 3 is the low mark.
That's hilariously low. I remember the game that they close out Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
He has 6 assists. Minnesota has like 7 points. By the time SGA has 6 assists.
Yeah. He's an incredible player. I get frustrated with going to the free throw line as much as he can and does. I mean, he shot 12 free throw shots on Sunday. One of the games with Minnesota, he shot 14.
Right.
You know, I can get very frustrated by that because I don't. Free throws in general frustrate me. Don't miss them. They're free baskets, but also don't take too many of them. It slows the game down. It's right. The least exciting thing about basketball. But there's also aspects about SGA that are super fun. His body contorts in ways it shouldn't when he's taking a shot, which is also how he gets a lot of the fouls.
Right.
But you look at some of these numbers, man. I mean, he is just, he's not this super volume scorer. He's an efficient scorer. Doesn't take a ton of threes, but like Luka Doncic, I know Trista Crick has talked about this with Shopin the Bulldog, but when he takes threes, he makes them. You are scared of him like Luka Doncic. It just may be his season total might be like 34%.
Now, much like Edmonton, I feel like Indiana has a, there's an issue here today. It's almost as must win can get, even though you're not desperately down in the series.
Yeah, it's not an elimination game.
It's not an elimination game. You have it where, yeah, you should probably get one here. If you lose game three, there is a lot of fear that this could be a short series like everyone feared because OKC has been the better team all throughout the entirety of the season.
Yeah,
in the
not
NBA
just the postseason.
So, like, if you're Indiana, you need to get one here. Also, stand your ground at home. That's important.
That's very important.
Edmonton, for example, they need to win game 4. You can't fall 3-1 again on this team.
I think especially, too, that game's tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on TNT and Max. That one you feel, too, because of how dominant Florida felt in game 3, 6-2. I mean,
you want a response.
You got to respond.
You were humiliated in every facet of the game. You let them get in your heads after they beat you down on the scoreboard, and it was just a nightmare of a game ever since. You need to make sure that A, you come back more composed, and B.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You come back better.
Yeah, and you're right, too. The idea of falling down 3-1.
And for Indiana, it's the same thing. You cannot let a dominant game like that go unresponded.
For them, they're in a situation, tonight's game 3. For them, I think it more comes down to don't give away the game you took in Oklahoma.
Yes.
You know, they did get the bonus of, hey, the series started, you won a game on the road. Don't give that away the moment the series goes to Indiana.
Yeah, you cannot let this get away from you. Both teams.
Yeah. Oklahoma City, a 5.5-point favorite tonight. I would probably take OKC and the points there.
I'm gonna pick with my heart. I'm going with the Pacers. I want this to be a long series.
803-0550 is the number to call. Going to take a quick timeout. Get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer, you're listening to WGR. Don't forget, Friday Foursome with Encore Golf is back. You ready to tee it up for free every Friday? We are giving away a foursome at one of our favorite nearby fairways, Seneca Hickory Stick Golf, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, or Royal Niagara Golf Club. Plus, of course, a box of Encore golf balls, a $25 Encore gift card, as well in the giveaway. Enter now through August 21st at WGR550.com for your shot at the pin. Absolutely try to make sure you get that done for this Friday, by the way. It's nice out all week. It's awesome. Then when you're done, go to the ballpark, watch Max Scherzer pitch. You got a whole day out of it.
And throughout that, you have the U.S. Open at Oakmont.
I should have visited that. I was just in Pittsburgh, Derek. Look at me not, like, keeping up on the golf schedule and checking, like, oh, you know, like, is there anything going on around here? I mean, it never would have hit me, but I should have known the schedule before.
Honestly?
Me and the girlfriend could have made a quick stop. Instead of IKEA, we could have gone to Oakmont.
First of all, that story's worth it already.
IKEA was fun.
No, you made the right decisions.
IKEA was fun. No one really prepares you for that story either.
No.
No one really prepares for, like, it's like, oh yeah, like the meatballs are great, but like honestly, walking around with all the furniture, kind of a good time. Kind of a good time. It is not the store though that you can walk around if you're someone that like, I like to go to the mall or certain stores and get my steps in and just like get moving, like especially during the winter. It is not the store to do that, to just go walk around. Dude, you will buy things.
Is it because it's cheap?
It's not actually cheap. Everything is there. Anything you have needs for your house, it's there. So you'll like show up and you're like, I mean, I don't need any more like utensils or anything like that. But they're there and they're kind of cool. I don't need a new bookshelf, but it's
I'm
here.
Absolutely not the person for this.
No, I think most people are not the kind of person to walk through IKEA and not immediately leave going, okay, well, I've spent
if
too much money.
Can tell,
I'm gonna have to tell the husband or wife and prepare to get yelled at.
I if anyone can tell, I'm impulsive.
Yeah.
Terrible. The self-control, like some days it's great, some days it's just not. Like I'm the worst person.
I was having a tough time with it too. I was like, some of the stuff looks nice. And then the stands they have, like kind of showing you how like a room could look with all the furniture in there.
Right.
Oh, I'm walking through all of them. I'm looking at it. I'm like, I would do this instead of that. I'm not even a big home person. Like, I'll watch like the designer shows because they're kind of entertaining to hear people go, you know, my budget's $400,000 and I make arts and crafts for a living. And you're like, excuse me? What do you mean? My job is
the former banker in me is like cringing at that thought. But you know what else we're cringing at? I'm also cringing at the thought that we're done for today.
Yeah.
Sabres Live is going to be coming up next. We'll see what they've got with in terms of Rasmus Dahlin finishing sixth in the Norris Trophy voting. That's coming up next, though, here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.